you got up this morning, what you would need. He knows already about tomorrow and what's going to happen through the night. And so the thrill of coming together, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Can you imagine the power structure that is in place for this night, multiplied by several people over two people? And so tonight, as we move forward in prayer for people that are in need and events that are coming up, it is a wonderful thing to just sort of look around and see who you're working with tonight. You don't have to do a whole 360, but just sort of look around and see brothers and sisters that care about you. And they come to meetings like this so that all of us stay replenished with power and clean by the Word of God. So tonight, I'd like to start off with the events that are upcoming. The coffee room has t-shirts for sale. All proceeds go back into the church. And we really appreciate the efforts that are put forth in that. In the month of March, if you buy a coffee, your name gets entered into a drawing for a Bible. Can you imagine another new Bible? And if you already have a new one to give to somebody that you have chosen to help make their life greater. 9th of this month, daylight savings time begins. Please move your clocks forward. The 14th, men's outing to Texas Roadhouse, sign up sheet in the foyer. 29th, jams event, and this church affords so many quality things in the jams activity level. So the kids rally is going to be special the 29th. Get with Sister Victoria or Sister Candy about details. We're currently doing a calendar fundraiser for our current and future jams events, so please honor that. Also, we need more volunteers to help with the jams classes, so please see them in that area. The 30th is our mission pledge is due, and I just thrill at how many missionaries and foreign people are affected by this people on the loop. This is a wonderful event, and your money shares in the heartbeat of heaven. The 31st is Ladies United Fellowship, so please, ladies, sign up in the foyer so they can make correct actions for the event. Tonight, we want to pray for Belinda Brown's family. The funeral for Eric is 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Gospel Lighthouse. And so I know that she would be pleased for any of you that could perhaps make that event a little more special for their family and others that are hurting. Lisa Malone and family need prayer. Nathan Crawford's doing quite a bit better, but still needs a special touch. Abby's grandfather, that's Brother Caleb Adams, our grandson's wife's grandfather, and he passed away, and his wife, we stopped by to see them, and she was just still full of the spirit that life affords people that are living with a faith in God. But he went on to his reward. So let's pray for them. Sister Dickie continues to need prayer. And I wish two or three of you ladies would just raise your hand and by that say, I'm going to covenant with others for her. She has gone through some special situations. And I know that their angels are ready to do some things. But I wish just two or three of you ladies would just sort of slip your hand up and let God know that you're going to be in covenant with that setting. Charity Emery, Gina Swaim, Cindy Crawford, Dee Cheshire, D. Danny Bramlett. He has been in need for a while, and I want some of you men, if you would, to strengthen him and Brother Griffith in their effort to try to regain some strength in their body. Donna and Don Howell need a special touch of the Lord, and I encourage us to continue to pray for all the requests on the overhead. So why don't we take a minute and stand and just reach out to God for 2 or 3 minutes, pleading the blood of Jesus, activating the Holy Ghost. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, this would be a great time to do it.
Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you tonight for the covenant that you have made with each of us and for all of us. I pray tonight that the angels of God literally go to every one of these places that we have assigned to. I pray that there be a spirit of victory that fills our hearts as we pray for each one of these and others. I lift up my heart tonight because I would want somebody to touch the hem of your garment for me. I praise you tonight for this sanctuary. I praise you for these people that are in covenant with you. I praise you for the victories that we've already been assigned. I praise you tonight, God, for the future that you're already preaching for us. In the name of Jesus, I praise your wonderful name. Praise God. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord? Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I'd like for maybe 2 or 3 testimonies that you have been touched by some of the Wednesday nights and the effort, maybe in Sunday, maybe other preachers coming through. But 2 or 3 people that just would not mind standing and just giving a testimony tonight to strengthen what God is already doing. You don't have to create a paragraph about it. Facility that you have blessed us with. You have given to us so many great services in these buildings and the Sunday school classes across the family center. And I praise you for the people that continue to make this a great place. In Jesus' name, amen.
fact, I think we have an anniversary this week. On the 7th, I think we will have been married, let's see, Kronda is 54, so I guess we have been married 57 years. Well, I'm happy all of you are here tonight, and fortunately tonight, my voice is a little better than what you suffered through a couple of Wednesday nights ago. I'm so sorry about that. So this is hopefully going to be a little better. I'm happy all y'all are here. I might mention, Sister Cynthia was telling me also that we mentioned that funeral being at 2 o'clock on Sunday at Gospel Lighthouse, but there's also going to be a receiving friends on Saturday at Fry Gibbs from 5 to 7. Okay, so if you're not able to attend that funeral, if you wanted to do the going by Fry Gibbs for receiving friends, that would be really nice. Sister Belinda Brown is such a precious lady. You know, she always sits on that back bench. She doesn't say much, but she is just always so faithful to be here, and we love her. Well, on this series is Greatness is God's Gift to You. So this is the fifth of six lessons. And tonight, this lesson talks about greatness enriches your future. Living your God-ordained destiny. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, you were born for a purpose. Everyone is born for some purpose. So it's our responsibility, to the best of our ability, to fulfill that purpose in God. So once in college in a British literature class, our professor said there's three questions that have plagued mankind since the beginning of time. And he said those questions are, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? So everyone in their lifetime needs a purpose. Everyone longs to feel fulfilled. Everyone wants to know that their life is making a difference, that their life has not been lived in vain, that your life has affected others. Recently, I read an interesting story about a man named Joshua Abraham Norton. In 1859, he lived in San Francisco, and he had lost his fortune in the shipping business. So he decided that he needed a new identity. So he declared himself Emperor of the United States. And so the San Francisco Evening Bulletin printed his declaration. He walked around town like a king. He always wore nice royal military uniforms, and he visited all of the town events, talking with people. And the newspaper in San Francisco would print a lot of his proclamations, which usually aimed at correcting society's ills. He wrote letters to all the presidents. He even wrote a letter to Queen Victoria asking her to marry him to help the relationship between England and the United States. I don't think she ever answered. But he even printed his own money, which a lot of the merchants in San Francisco would take. Well, actually, Emperor Norton, he lived in a one-room boarding house and was very poor. However, upon his death, after his death, the city made sure that he had a very fine burial with 3,000 people in attendance. So when he died in 1880, he had reigned as emperor for 20 years. So I guess we could say that Emperor Norton created a purpose for his own life. His life for him did have purpose. So you were born for a purpose, and that purpose is discover what God had in mind when he created you. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." When you were born, you were created for a purpose God had in mind something for you to do. Philippians 1 and 6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So whatever your purpose is, God's going to stick right beside you and help you fulfill it. God has a number of ways of showing us how to walk in our destiny. First of all, God speaks through His Word, the Bible. And reading through the New Testament each year, it's kind of strange, and I'm amazed that at the things that I see each year that I have not noticed before. It's kind of like the Word, what you're reading, speaks to where you are and what you're needing right now. That's what you see in it when you read it through many, many times. So, in particular, I have been needing to feel peace. So, I have noticed that in the New Testament, that peace in the New Testament International Version, that peace is mentioned 93 times in the New Testament. And of course, there's three different kinds of peace. There's a spiritual peace. That's my peace with God. Got to make sure that my relationship with Him brings peace to my life. Then there's relational peace. That's peace with other people, trying to live at peace with all the people that your life is involved with. Then there's emotional peace. That's peace just between me and peace, me having peace in myself. Okay, so peace with God, peace with other people, and then peace with myself. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So God will speak to you through His Word, whatever has been troubling you, whatever questions you have regarding various situations, or if you are needing specific direction in your life, God will speak to you through His Word. I know that He will. I know that you could probably, if we opened it up, there would be a lot of you that could give particular examples of times in your life when a particular scripture spoke what you needed to. I told this to the ladies when we were having those ladies' classes, but one time I had gone to that because of the times in Alexandria, and they really hammered evangelism. You have got to save the lost. Evangelism, you've got to save your lost. So I left there and I thought, well, you know, I can teach some home Bible studies. I can do a better job evangelizing, you know, the people that make up my world. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do that. And so then after that, I went to a music conference. And so they hammered how important it was to be an excellent musician. And so it was a pretty in-depth thing. And so when I left there, I thought, you know what? they made me feel like that if I could not walk those courses up in 13th, that I didn't even need to be sitting on that keyboard, you know. So I thought when I left there, I said, well, you know, I understand 13th and walking up 13th. They're not always that easy, but, you know, if you practice, you can. So I left there thinking, okay, I can be a better musician. And shortly after there, I was in charge of the ladies' conference going on in Lufkin. And that year, it was kind of focusing on relationships and family relationships and et cetera. And this one lady got up and gave this speech about all she had done for her two sons and all she had done, da-da-da. And when she finished, she brought them up there. I don't know. So I left there and I thought, you know what? maybe I better, along with walking songs up in 13ths and teaching Bible studies, saving my world, I need to pour into my family. Now, this time, the girls were already grown, but I had all these grandkids, and I thought, you know what? I need to pour a lot of time into those grandchildren. I'm going to do that. So then, that particular Sunday morning after that, I was teaching the senior high class, and I was teaching, mind you, on spiritual warfare. I'd never taught on spiritual warfare, and I have never taught on it again since. But I was teaching on spiritual warfare, and normally that large class would respond. If I cried, they cried. If I laughed, they laughed. They were all just really, really responsive. But teaching on that spiritual warfare, it was like running into that brick wall. I can't even explain how difficult it was. It was just really, really hard teaching on it, like running into that wall. So when I came out of class that morning and came down to that platform in our old church for morning worship, I sit down and I was feeling pretty defeated. And I said to God, I said, you know, Lord, I really, really, really do want to go to heaven. But it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it. You know, if I'm going to have to teach by save the world, all these things that I was trying to do, I thought, it was just feeling overwhelming and impossible. And I said, God, I just want you to know that I really did want to come to heaven. Doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it, but I just want you to know that I really did want to come. And would you believe that I had this little Bible with me. Now, right now, the print in this Bible is so small that I cannot even read it with these glasses on. But at that time, this was the little Bible that I carried all the time and that I read. And so that morning, I sit down up there on the platform and I prayed that prayer to God that I wanted to go to heaven, but it didn't look like I was going to be able to. And would you believe that I opened up this little blue Bible, just opened it up at random, and look down at it, and right at the top of this right-hand side, it said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." And I felt like God was saying, "Okay, look, calm down. You're making this really, really difficult. Walk in the Spirit every day and try to stay in tune with my voice, and then I will lead you in this world of evangelism. I'll help you with the music. I'll help you with your family, but walk in the Spirit." He didn't say climb mountains or swim the ocean or run relays. He said walk. And that morning, that's very simple, but that morning, that meant the world to me, for the Word of God to speak to me and just say, okay, calm down now. Let's just walk in the Spirit. And I know that all of you have examples just like that you could share as well. It's just so awesome, the Word of God, how relative it is to every situation. Okay, so God speaks to you and helps you with your purpose in life by the Word. The second way that you can be led to your purpose is that God sometimes speaks through just small voices. And a lot of times you will recognize it'll just come maybe out of nowhere. You may not even be thinking about it. God will just speak to you just out of the clear blue a lot of times. And a lot of times he is confirming a decision when he speaks to you. Sometimes he's given specific direction when he speaks to you. Sometimes he may even be given a warning to you, but you know it's him. You know, because it's just different from anything else when God speaks to you. I remember one time, y'all, when I got a warning. I wasn't thinking about anything in particular. I was hanging wallpaper, okay? I'm hanging wallpaper, and all of a sudden, God spoke to me, and he warned me about something in my life. It scared me to death. I mean, it was so forceful and so powerful that it scared me. But I appreciated God warning me, but it scared me really, really badly. And I want you to know that quickly, I took care of what God was talking to me about. So a lot of times he'll speak to you in a still, small voice. Sometimes it'll be a nice, sweet voice, and sometimes it'll be a warning. And that warning was very, very powerful. But anyhow, so God speaks through, actually to you, straight to you, not through anybody else. So through his word, and then through a still, small voice. And the third way that I have found that God speaks to us is through other people. Like Sister Dot mentioned the lesson last Wednesday night, and then Sunday morning I heard a lady telling my husband how much that she had enjoyed that message the Sunday before, how it had spoke straight to her. So a lot of times we receive direction for our purpose through sermons that we hear, sermons we even listen to a lot of time on the internet. Sometimes we receive our direction. A lot of times it will be conversations with other people. They may not even know that they are ministering to you and help and give direction. But a lot of times you're learning, being led by the Spirit of God toward your purpose will a lot of times come through other people. A lot of times it will come through things you read. I know one morning, I was up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and so I picked up this Reflection magazine that had been the September-October issue of Reflection magazine. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was reading, you know, through that magazine, and it was exactly what I needed. Isn't that weird? Exactly, because there was an article on how to reign over your emotions. Well, you know, when you're up at 4 o'clock, there's usually something bothering you, you know, okay. So one of these articles was how to reign over your emotions. Another one was finding peace and purpose in divine alignment. And then another one was on being made whole. So I do not know any of the three ladies that wrote those articles, but it was so timely. It was just exactly what I needed at that time to have heard. And then a lot of times God speaks through others. A lot of times it may be a total stranger. I remember particularly one time when I guess Kylie was maybe 16 or 17, and she was going through a really, really, really rough time in her life, and she was at youth camp in Lufkin, and Brother Aaron Bounds preached that youth camp. And when he finished preaching, you know, all these young people started coming to the front, gather around the front. And so she said that Brother Bounds come off of that platform, wove his way through all those young people, walked right up to her and told her something that she needed desperately to hear. Total stranger. And my friend Debbie Hudson was telling me that when their church in Denton had a major split, she was really upset, and she was at Because of the Times. And she said a lady came up to her that she did not know. And that lady started just telling her everything Well, it was just from God, you know, speaking through that lady. That lady didn't know Debbie, so she didn't know what to say. But God, speaking through that lady, said all kinds of things to Debbie that she desperately needed to hear. Okay, so a lot of times your purpose and direction for your life will come through the Word of God. A lot of times it will come through God's voice. And then other times it will come through other people. So many times fulfilling God's call purpose means releasing your past and embracing your future. Many times fulfilling your God call purpose means releasing your past and embracing your future. It isn't always easy to get out of your comfort zone and to try something totally new and different, because we like to feel comfortable and safe in our little box. It's not easy when God is directing you to go and do something. It isn't always easy to give in to that kind of thing, because we like to hold on. We really like to be in control. There's a chapter in my cousin Rodney Shaw's book, and he writes about how difficult that it is to let go, to release your hold on things. He uses this example of, he would usually go to Glen Rose, Texas, and spend the summer with his aunt and uncle on their farm, and he particularly loved to ride the horses. And so Uncle Wayne had said, "Now, Rodney, if you ever get lost, let go of the reins, and the horse will find its way back to the barn." So Rodney said one day he really was lost, and he galloped way out this direction, and then he come back, and he galloped out another direction. So by evening, when it was starting to get dark, he was getting a little nervous, but still he said to let go of those reins was the most difficult thing in life. To admit, "Hey, look, I'm lost. This horse may know more than I know." It's just hard to let go. And so he said, eventually, though, he did get desperate. He did let go of the reins. And yes, the horse eventually found its way back to the barn. And that's the way it is with us. A lot of times, hanging on to the past, whether the past was good or whether it's bad, a lot of times it keeps hanging on to the past, keeps us from moving forward into the future for better things that God does have for us. And because y'all know I taught history, this example kind of stuck with me. It's regarding our Alamo that's in San Antonio. The Mexican general Decaz, two words. We really believe that he was Santa Anna's brother-in-law, married to Santa Anna's sister. But he had led a siege of San Antonio in December of 1835, and he had been defeated by the Texans. Santa Anna's brother-in-law, Decaz, was defeated by the Texans. And it was a great, great victory for the Texans, and they were very, very proud. Meanwhile, Sam Houston, who had been appointed commander of the Texas Army, sent word to the Alamo for the men at the Alamo to leave the Alamo and come join him at San Jacinto to fight Santa Anna. But you know what? They didn't leave, because it was such a sacred place, and there had been such an incredible victory that they had won there already, that it was just a big memorial, a big victorious memorial. And they wouldn't leave. They stayed there. They got a warning. "Hey, look, get out of that Alamo. Come on, get out of it, because Santa Anna and his brother-in-law will return. And sure enough, in March, 3 months later, Santa Anna did return along with his brother-in-law with 1,000 men. So, when I hear people say, remember the Alamo, a lot of times I think that famous people like William Travis, Jim Bowie, David Crockett, they didn't have to die there. If that Alamo had not been such a sacred memorial to their victory, they would not have lost their lives if they had left and gone to help Sam Houston. Of course, I do know that because they did give their lives and people did say, remember the Alamo, remember the Alamo, it did build a fight in a lot of people to fight for a victory. But anyhow, that's just a little seed for thought, because sometimes we do the same thing. We have these big spiritual experiences, and we think, oh my word, this is so powerful. I know I'll never have another one like this. I know I'll never, ever experience anything like I experienced 5 years ago, sitting right over there. You know, we just kind of build a memorial to a particular experience that we've had with God. We build a memorial to that. And so a lot of times when we build memorials to spiritual experiences, it keeps us from moving forward. Also, a lot of time there are traditions that we just cannot let go of. I've always done it this way. My grandma did it this way. It's always been done this way. You know, tradition a lot of time is real binding. I just thought of this about that lady that time. Her daughter said, Mom, why do you always cut this roast in half and cook it in two different pans? And her mom said, well, honey, you know, I really don't know. That's just the way my mom always did it. She said, we can ask your grandma. So, Grandma, why do you always cut that roast in half and cook it in two pots? And Grandma said, well, that's because, honey, I never had a pot large enough, you know, to cook the whole thing. And, you know, that's kind of strange and weird, but that's exactly what we do sometimes. We hold on to a lot of traditions that it would be a lot better if we could let go. Let go of them and let God do a new thing, you know. It doesn't always have to be done like it's always been done. Don't be afraid to let go of traditions. And actually, a lot of times, memorials can be actual places that you have occupied that keep you from branching out and doing your new thing. It's a lot of times places that you occupy that you do not want to. You don't want to move. I remember when my husband felt it was God's will, you know, for us to come here to Paris and from Ohio. And we enjoyed the little neighborhood that we lived in, and the girls loved the little school that they went to, and we had an exciting, worshipful, young church. And so we drove down that weekend to preach, and after service that night, my husband talked to the board about, you know, our coming here. So after we got back to the hotel, a board member called us and he said, Brother Meyer, he said, I really do like you. I really do like your family. But I just want you to know that I will not be voting for you. He said, this church is about to explode and split in half. And he said, if you have a good church in Ohio, I think you ought to just stay there. Now, how would you feel stepping out of a comfortable, peaceful place into a war zone. So you see, a lot of times things God leads you to do and are not always the thing you would prefer to do. You see what I mean? But you know what, y'all? This has been a wonderful 42 years. And you know what? That church did not explode and split in half. Did you know that we only lost one elderly couple, and we lost them because they didn't believe in building gyms? You know, this, when we had church in the other building, this was our gymnasium, and they didn't believe in church having gyms. So the only couple we lost in all of that was just that couple. So it's been a very beautiful experience, and we have grown. This is an incredible complex that we have here. And so it was God's will. And but a lot of times when it is God's will, I'm not saying it's the most comfortable thing in the world to do. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous, mighty hand." So your gift, your purpose in life, and the gifts that you have been given, they will make room for themselves. God's word teaches that you were created with special gifts and talents. 1 Corinthians 7:7 said, "But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another one has this." And we are to use and build upon these gifts. Expand the gifts that God has given you. What about this Bible parable about the master who gave his servants talents to invest? He gave one 5 talents, gave another one 2 talents, gave another one just 1 talent. And so the one that had 5, he invested his, and when the master came, he had 5 more. And the one that had 2, he invested his, and when the master came, he had 2 more. And so his master was very happy. He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Well, the servant that had been given 1, he had taken his and dug a hole and buried it. So when he brought that 1 back, the master was very angry with him. And he called him a wicked and slothful servant. And then he took that 1 talent and gave it to the man that already had 10. So this little story leads me to believe that what abilities and talents God has given you, use them. Because you certainly do not want God to call you a slothful servant. Right? Right? We don't want to be called slothful servants. So whatever talent you have been given, use it. Now, when your service to God is out of a heart of love to Him, you will find that not only will you be blessed, but in the process, many other people will be blessed also. So God created a gift inside of you. He expects you to invest that gift, grow it, and increase it. And your gift will make room for itself, and it will be a blessing to the kingdom. Now, I don't want anybody thinking, "Oh, I'm too old. Nobody is too old. Whatever gifts you've been given, they're still there, okay? And as long as you have breath, expand them. Use them. Get out there and do something. Sometimes I've seen people, as they age, they get a little more desperate about doing things, you know, because they don't have as much time left. I don't have as much time left as somebody that's 30 years old has, you know. So whatever your gift is, get with it. Expand it. Use it. Use it. Okay, now, our talents and gifts vary greatly. And thank goodness they do. Thank goodness our talents are really varied. Did y'all know that our children's church puppets, did you know that they don't sing and dance on their own? Did you know that our Sunday school classrooms do not decorate themselves? And do you know that these church doors do not swing open by themselves on their own and welcome people with a handshake and a smile? They don't. These instruments up here, they don't play themselves. Meals don't cook themselves. How many know that? Tables don't decorate themselves. Coffee doesn't make itself every Sunday morning. When you come into that coffee room, that coffee's not made. It's not sitting there waiting on you. It doesn't make itself. And I also, did you know that a commode does not unstop itself when a fork has been flushed down it? Over in that family center, we know that. Hospitality and care for others need human hands. All the above have to have human input, human hands. So, have any of y'all by any chance seen, because our talents are so varied, have any of y'all by any chance seen the incredible paintings on the wall of our Sunday school classes that Kenda and Callan have done? Thank God that our talents are varied. So, what are you best at? Where are your talents and your gifts? Because greatness is God's gift to you. To be good at all the talents you have is God's blessing upon your life. God's greatness is your reward. Do y'all want to stand? I was looking to see how long this lesson was, because today when I rehearsed this, first of all, it's when I reread this morning, I thought it sounded a whole lot about just a lot of personal examples. But you know what? I know a little more about myself than I know about any of y'all. Plus, you would probably rather me use myself than to call out different ones of you as examples. But I thank y'all for being here tonight. And so as we close, can you pray about your purpose in God's kingdom? Because everyone is so important, and all of you have gifts that God wants to maximize on. So can we pray that we will be open to however God wants to use us to expand our gifts for His kingdom, because there is a purpose. Jesus Christ said, "For this purpose came I into the world." So you came into this world with a purpose as well. And it's our responsibility to find it and get on with using it and developing it. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for these precious people here tonight. Thank you for our varied gifts and the way in the past you have used so many people for the glory of your kingdom. But we do not want to stop now. All of the gifts that we have been given by you, the purpose you have for our lives, the purpose we were created for, we want to endeavor to fulfill that purpose, to be exactly what you want us to be led by your Spirit, to be sensitive to your voice, be directed by your cause. In Jesus' name, amen. I love y'all.